Off the Ball, GAA.
Davey Burke coming out after a game and making comments like that, I'm not sure how exactly helpful it is to his team, but maybe he's trying to get a message across to them that, you know, the last couple of weeks haven't been good enough.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod on Off the Ball with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
You're welcome along to the Racing Pod. It's Johnny Ward standing in for JD John Duggan today, and Tom Malone will be joining me shortly. We're going to talk about the William Hill sponsored Lincoln at Doncaster, the big races at Doncaster, the big races at the Curragh tomorrow, Saturday, and a cracking card Sunday at Leopardstown as well. Windy day in Dublin today, but looks like we'll have nice conditions over the course of the weekend in Ireland. We're here every week with analysis, race previews, tips, stories, interviews, and crack. The first half of the podcast every week is free to air. The second part is exclusively for members. We even got a winner for me last weekend. And be sure to sign up by going to offtheball.com/join. And for members, this week we'll focus on those big races at Leopardstown on Sunday in the main. But we'll talk about plenty more throughout the show as well. How are you, Tom?
Yeah, not too bad, Johnny. You keeping well?
I'm keeping well. The obvious question to start with is, where are you at? I know the way you're thinking, homecoming in your vicinity.
I wasn't. I heard it was there was good crack, and there was the pubs of Screen, of which there are many of very high quality, were well populated late into the night as well. But I didn't make it down. But it seemed like it was the great and the good from Screen were there. You had Colm O'Rourke and Trevor Giles, and you know Gavin Cromwell now very much in that echelon of very famous people from Screen.
It was a big, big day for him winning the Gold Cup. I know the way you're thinking. He had to beat Galton Deschamps. I wasn't talking to you since Cheltenham, so we'll just have a little bit of a look back at it, maybe with a view to Aintree as well. Galton Deschamps, another case of, and we spoke about this on the Cheltenham kind of coverage throughout the week, when a horse is drifting alarmingly in the betting, why? I think people maybe were taking him on the ground. What did you make of the performance of the winner and the fact that I suppose we weren't surprised he was supplemented in the end?
No, it was an outstanding performance, wasn't it? My mind is drawn back to the Dublin Racing Festival, and actually when the winners' interviews were being done, Keith Donoghue and Gavin Cromwell had an exceptionally long conversation post-race.
What do you think
when
they
he
were
finished
saying?
Very strongly that day. I mean, initially at the time, I thought, and I followed financially, I assume they're going, this horse has to go for a Grand National. He just stays all day. But you know, obviously they had much higher thoughts and hopes for him, because you know, just the way he finished out his race in Leopardstown, and then I just saw them in the parade ring and they spoke. You know, neither are men who relish a particularly long conversation, and the two of them were deep in conversation for a really long time after that. So obviously, you know, the bones of a plan was put together then, and what the horse did was brilliant. You know what I mean? He did hit a little bit of a flat spot coming down the hill, and then he really just reeled Galloping Deschamps in. During the race, I can see it. I mean, he probably wasn't himself. Maybe he just felt the ground. But it's amazing how accurate the market was to the performance as well. That was, you know, I didn't pay too much attention to it at the time, and obviously I'm after timing this a little bit. But you know, there were one or two concerns, and you hear from some bookmakers afterwards saying they were pushing him right out to 8-13 and couldn't give him away. So look, there was obviously a little bit of sentiment on the ground that people weren't into it, or whether they were just sick of short price favourites by the way the week had gone at that stage as well. It was probably an element for people, you know, betting on the ground too. You know, it is difficult to lay short price favourites in singles when you are a bookmaker in the ring at cash. Like, but yeah, the vibes weren't great. And then obviously the race itself panned out. But again, he still finished a very gallant second. And, you know, if we did have a genuinely soft ground Gold Cup next year and he got there in one piece, you wouldn't see much reason for Galloping Deschamps not to have another go.
Yeah, we'll talk to Sam Norris of William Hill in the second half of the show. He'll just go through some of the market movers, including Aintree. And one horse who's not going to go to Aintree, Bugsy, is I Know the Way You're Thinking. I mean, for me, if you watch that race at Leopardstown, typical of McManus horses in some respects, he was being campaigned for something. I don't think it was the Gold Cup at the time. I presumed he was going to Aintree. Now, if I were JP McManus, I'd be thinking, hey, we can win three Gold Cups with this horse, or at least we can give it a shot to see if he can win the race next year. He doesn't go, and at the moment William Hill is top price Iroko and Intense Raffles at 9-1 each of two. They're actually not favoured with Hill's William Hill's
yeah,
favourite.
They got Stumptown.
Yeah, who's Gavin Cromwell trained, his first winner at the Cheltenham Festival. You were at Tom Gibney's actually during the week.
Yeah, I was. Intense Raffles is the most gorgeous horse. He won the Irish Grand, the Boys Sports Irish Grand National last year. Big grey. I think last year they had a little plan to try and let Daniel Jacob, you know, finish up his career on him, maybe win an Irish Grand National. Unfortunately, he got injured just before the race, and well, Intense Raffles held up his end of the bargain. And we're down there. He only has five riding out in his stables there. It's actually the same stables that Gordon Elliott trained Silver Birch to win an Aintree Grand National. So there is a bit of pedigree there. I'd say the way the weather is going, we'd need a little bit of rain at Aintree over the next week or so to give Intense Raffles a kind of single figure price chance at the race. They one thing they did say is that there's nothing wrong with him. He's such a better horse when there is that little bit of rain, when there's a little bit of softness underfoot. So yeah, just the way I see it, I think Stumptown, I mean, Stumptown's fab, but it's kind of like, why is he fab? You know what I mean? It's a Tiger Roll route. Yeah, he 11-2, he's okay, but and we know he'll stay. I didn't love his performance at Cheltenham, so again, he's probably just a shade short for me. I Maximus is plenty of weight. Intense Raffles, question mark over the ground. I just don't like Iroko. And then you're talking about if the ground comes up good. I mean, I could easily see Hewitt going off favourite for this. You know, big, like there'd be a lot of publicity around Shark. You know, there'd be plenty of chat from the camp. They're super confident. And like I said, if they get good ground, the horse showed his well-being, I can see him going off favourite. I think Vanillier has a chance. Then you've got Percival Legal-Watt, obviously really good chance for him. Nick Rocket in there as well. But just when you look through them, I could see a stage where Hewitt gets very short in the market.
I spoke to Shark at Limerick the other day, and he was kind of outlining why Gavin Sheehan replaces Jordan Gainford. You can argue the point. I mean, I feel a bit sorry for Jordan Gainford and all of that. Hewick, I feel, could have run well in the Gold Cup if he had run there. Ultimately, Bugsy, though, let's get philosophical today. What is the Grand National now? What is the race? What does it stand for? It's a bit of a trigger's broom race compared to what it used to be. Where is it?
Absolutely. For me, you know, the notion that they say that people would say before it's a lottery or something like that, it's not. It's for absolute specialists. And now when you look through it, you're going to get your 40 runners. I would say there's probably only about 8 or 12 horses who have any sort of chance of kind of winning it. Cross-country type horses, I can see why they have a good chance. You know what I mean? What it is, it's not the test of old. It's a, you know, it is much more like a cross-country, and maybe that's why Stumptown is fav. You know, the fences are so hollow, they're so soft, there's so much less than what they were. That's essential. We don't want bad falls, but we also want to reward good jumping. And I don't really buy into all this race IQ stuff, but it was interesting in the field this week. Race IQ data was published, and then they assessed they also assessed potential national runners. And one of the ones that scored lowest on the jump IQ ratings was I Maximus. And you're like, well, but he's won over course and distance. He's jumped around supposedly traditionally the most difficult course of fences. He's pretty much the only course winner. He'll be the only course winner pretty much in the field. And he's one of the lowest ranked jumpers. So, I mean, the data in itself tells you what you need. You need something that's kind of low and brave and might guess every now and again, but ultimately doesn't lose lengths jumping. That kind of big traditional chaser, I just don't think they have much of a chance anymore. And you think if they're kind of a big horse, the likes of those, I don't know, again, obviously Lompressi's not going to run, but like Gordon's shortest price horse there is three card Brag. I couldn't have him on my mind. You've got the likes of Manella Cocooner as well, just big old lumps of chasers. I don't really think they have much of a chance anymore, because there's such a long run in, and if you're not you know, if you're not, you're just, they're actually picking up a fair bit of speed. They're actually holding a fair bit of speed along that part of the track. And it's really about efficiency now. Whereas before, those big horses, they could use their stride in the closing stage and just plug on. But I don't think you can just plug on to international anymore.
With respect to the entry itself, we have some like pretty high quality entries in some of the graded races, and yeah,
we're
some...
gonna have the hurdle that we'll, I suppose we may as well talk about now, because
do you reckon
the
we will
podcast next week will have gone, because we're going to get Lossy Mouth, Brighter Days Ahead, and Constitution Hill.
Will we?
It's a cracker.
Are you hopeful it'll actually happen?
I'm pretty hopeful it's happened. There's no real reason for it not to happen. There's no real race at Punchestown for Lossy Mouth. You know, what are you going to do with her? Are you going to run her back against State Man? Like, you know, you have to... I remember, look, well, they could. Obviously, of course they could. But, like, you know, she had such an easy canter around in the mares. Why wouldn't you go on and let her take on the open, you know, the open race? You have a question mark over Constitution Hill. Will he enjoy that trip? And then you have you know, the mare on a redemption mission as well in Brighter Days Ahead. I think it's fascinating. Yeah, I hope it happens. Really hope it happens. I think it will.
It would be brilliant to see. And yeah, so entry is going to be fascinating. And whatever your thoughts on the Grand National, I suppose, and the way it has changed. We're going to talk this weekend's racing. So we're going to start at the Curra, a track that Bugsy knows very well. And it just before we go to the racing, this time of year, I love it, Tom, because it's just you've the... You know, the spring is, there's a real spring in the air. There's the 2-year-olds coming out, the stallions having their first ever runners. You've kind of, I suppose, the main yards might be a little bit slower to get going, like Aidan O'Brien. And you've some very, very smart horses running over the 2 days in Ireland as well.
This is brilliant. Yeah, I mean, the thing is as well, it's a real opportunity for smaller yards to take a couple of scalps, because even if you're down at the Aidan O'Brien press day and he had the line in winter out and obviously mentioned he had a slight setback, he's going to be up against it. I mean, the horse was so fat. I genuinely couldn't believe how big he was, that they even allowed him to be photographed. He's so far off a run by the looks of things. Now, obviously, he's a burly sort anyway. He's not the most straightforward to train, because didn't see much of him last year. But yeah, Aidan O'Brien's horses, even from that picture of the line in winter alone, we know they're a little behind. He's only had one winner already. That's nothing out of the ordinary. I mean, if you are taking on Favs, and taking on Aidan O'Brien Favs is certainly the time of the year to do it before the first weekend in May. Yeah, I think it's absolutely fascinating. Like, there's a couple of horses here. I cannot wait for them later on. Obviously, you have the likes of Camille Pizarro and the Gladness, but Officer is a horse I absolutely loved. Won on debut, beat Storm Piece and another stablemate. His name escapes me, but regally bred, related to the Derby winner there out of Hydrangea. Like, gorgeous horse. Obviously, I don't think he'll do it in the Gladness Stakes, but he'll have a nice tune-up and definitely one to follow for the season. There's so many horses to just follow for the season this weekend. Another one there in the second race as well at the Curra is Kiki for Eddie Lynham. I imagine he won't be fully ready to go yet, but not too many horses win 4 flat handicaps and, you know, finish 4th in the Bold Lad as well, finish winning the Joe McGrath. You'd imagine, you know, Eddie's done it before with, you know, really decent sprinters who's taken through a handicap season, then gone on looking for group races. So imagine Kiki be one of them, certainly worth following. Off a mark in 95, you'd imagine he'll progress through that over the course of the year as well.
Well, let's start with the Gladness Stakes, Gladness in Our Hearts, to be at the Curra late March, a race that honours Lester Piggott. I met Lester once in the old Curra press room, and he sort of just slalomed his way in and nobody noticed him the way he used to be. And I was like, this has to be my opportunity. So I went over with him, and Tracy, his daughter, was there, and I said, Lester, and I had like my phone in my hand, would you mind taking a photo of me and Tracy? And he actually, like, he completely got it. He was like, you know, a bit of a laugh, got a photo with Lester. And what would he be on if he were still going strong? And he rode a winner at the Breeders' Cup in 60 odd, but what would he ride in the 4 o'clock? Would he ride Poet Master, 5-year-old taking on the, yeah,
absolutely, wouldn't he? Yeah. It was cash first and sentiment second with him, so it's just and look, Poet Master has an absolute favourite chance here. Obviously,
he did like the cash
race,
didn't he? Like, Willie Carson. Willie Carson one day is like, Les is like, Willie, give us a lend of a tenner. And Willie's like, oh, Jesus, when am I going to? So, anyway, 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, he's like, Les, will you give us the tenner back? And he goes, I haven't even spent it yet. What would he be on? Would he be on the favourite? If he weren't, would he be on Camille Pissarro or the horse you like, Officer?
Yeah, I think he'd be on Poet Master. And just for the purposes of this race, I think Poet Master. I think actually Carl Burke generally is going to have a pretty good weekend.
Interesting, he comes over.
Yeah, look, Carl Burke is one of those trainers that has identified that there are opportunities for big flat trainers in Ireland, particularly at the sort of mid-pattern level. And, you know, Poet Master picked up the Minstrel Stakes here, of course, in distance last year. Lovely big five-year-old. I imagine he should be. The only horse who has a right to kind of have any sort of chance against him is the likes of Camille Pissarro. But as we've sort of seen, you know, he's been off the track for 174 days since he won in Longchamp that day. We know Aidens are a little behind. So I just think that Poet Master, I see William Hill are 9-4, 7-2 at the moment. I don't think they'd be anywhere near that come the day if he turns up and he's fit and raring to go. Like I said, you know, you don't go the whole way to the curve if you're just having a prep run for the season. It's just an ideal opportunity for him to pick up a nice listed contest.
Interesting you say that. Some great names in the race that Camille Pissarro won at Longchamp. He beat Misunderstood, Field of Gold, and Henri Matisse was actually running. We'll talk about him later on, but that day Christophe Soumillon rode Camille Pissarro, and Aidan O'Brien said he loved he loved coming through horses. Soumillon was now kind of at the veteran stage or whatever, would love that. But I kind of agree with you, Bugsy. I think 9-4 stands out a bit on Poet Master on the basis that he's surely not coming over kind of for, why would you come over for 29.5 grand prep run? And William Hill, as I've said this week in, week out, it's rarer and rarer and rarer that their odds compilers take in any sort of a view and people just copy each other. Now, William Hill frequently first, and William Hill has gone 9-4 Poet Master. So if you like that price on Friday afternoon, take it. Bugsy, we will talk about the 5-10 at the Curragh, if that's okay as well, just because we have a lot of form here that goes back to the Irish Lincoln and a Randy who runs in the Lincoln at Doncaster on Saturday. One of the horses, one of the also-rans from that race that does interest me here, if I just get the race card up, is Fort Vega. Now, Sheila Lavery's book, Colin Keane here, Fort Vega had a bid for glory probably about 2 furlongs out in the Lincoln, faded out of it a bit, but didn't run badly, won at Goran and Nace in May of last year. Now he's actually come back to a mark of 83, which is lower than the mark that he carried to victory at Nace. Just the booking of Colin Keane really intrigues me, and he's a very interesting horse in that race, maybe to potentially boost the claims of Arandi in terms of you know, his form in Doncaster. But this is a cracking contest. The likes of Indigo 5, who ran at Curra in the same race as well under that man Wesley Joyce among the opposition, Bugsy.
Yeah, absolutely. Wesley Joyce had a great start to the season as well. Him and Mick Mulvaney, they're doing a little wrong. Obviously, Indigo 5 trained by Johnny Feen. He was fourth last week behind Tony Martin's horse. I can see where you're going with Fort Fagan. I imagine he'd strip a bit fitter as well for the run. He's 5 now off mark of 83. A horse I kind of like in this actually is, I'm not sure how to pronounce it exactly, but I think it's Aperku, or is it Apersu? I'm not sure.
Aperku, yeah.
Obviously 1/10 here last time out, the back end of last season. He's just one of those horses you kind of need to catch. He was very frustrating last season, ran into Lord Church and touched off by Massoon as well before eventually coming right at Nace. Look, maybe he wants further ultimately, but I just think he might be a bit of a price. And like I say, everyone's eyes will be drawn to all those horses who ran last week. And I just think Apersu could be one, maybe a bit of an each way price against him. But I just think he's a nice horse, and there's definitely a really decent kind of premier handicap possibly in him, even though he is 5 now. But, you know, there's one of these races in him, and he kind of takes part in plenty of them sort of once a month or whatever. But I don't know whether it'll be on Saturday at the Curragh, but he's definitely one to follow. It's a bit like you, Johnny. You know, when you said last week, I often pick the right horse, but just not in that day. That could be the case this weekend, especially with the likes of Aidan O'Brien's runners and Aperku and Kiki as well earlier on the card, could definitely fall into that bracket.
Yeah, a bit of the Roy Keane kind of attitude of, you know, why do you clap the pilot when the plane lands? He's just doing his job. Like, the right horse, wrong day. No, the right horse is the winner on that day, not the next day. So right horse wrong day doesn't exist. Speaking of right horse wrong day, I'm going to tip a loser in the 215, Bugsy, if you can bear with me. And Betson, to be fair, is unlikely to win this race, but I do like the fact that he's going to be a price. He was 16s behind Laugh a Minute, but not really stretching out to get the six at the current on his seasonal return. J.W. Davison, young trainer I'm a big fan of, he's come down from a mark in the hundreds down to 93. James Ryan maintains the ride, has the blinkers back on, and I do feel dropping back to five will help him after that run behind Laugh a Minute. Now, the runner-up in that race didn't do much for the form at Nace on Sunday.
I wouldn't worry about that, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wouldn't worry about these kind of races, you know, a lot of the time. And Betson as well. I think Betson was pretty undercooked last week.
Yeah.
I bumped into Jack before the race. He certainly wasn't too... He wasn't too sweet in the horse's chances, you know, kind of accepting that it's a long season, you know what I mean? And you'd be nuts as well to have a horse absolutely raring to go on the, you know, 16th of March or whatever. So I imagine a strip fitter for the run, and yeah, anything, you know. But that's the thing, when you look back, just it's only been 2 weeks. A lot of these horses, particularly, you know, mid-range handicappers, will run pretty regularly. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he runs a big race. And yeah, he could be right there. It could be a big price too.
Bugsy will give his charity bet second half the show. We're actually going to talk about the Lincoln, the William Hill sponsored Lincoln, second half the show. I will give a selection, and Bugsy might give one for the free to air section here as well. I'm going to give one in the 4:20 at Leopardstown on Sunday. I do like the claim stepping up in trip of Mr. Adam under W.J. Lee for Gerard O'Leary. Goes from gate one. Lots of positives out of Elizabeth Kerr, who was a ledger winner. Although, funnily enough, this horse didn't actually seem to get 10 furlongs the one time he tried it. I'm willing to put that down to just a bit of an off day. Bugsy, give us one for the listeners on the radio.
Just one for the... Oh, we'll just stick with Poet Master. Let's keep it simple.
Perfect.
I just think Poet Master wins at Ladness.
So that's the first half of the show. For members, we're going to continue now shortly. And we're also going to hear very shortly from Sam Norris of William Hill.
Football on Off the Ball with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.